You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon here. And we greet you and welcome all of you listeners wherever you are. We're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And Donna and I co-pastor a church we have here in Stewart for 22 plus years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here with you. We've been talking on this radio program for 18 plus years too with people. And we hope you'll be touched and understand some things that God's wanting us to know today. And that's why we named this program years ago, didn't we, Pastor Donna? Raising the Standard. And so that's what we want to do, and that's what we're attempting to do. And we want to give you the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and nothing but the truth, because that's what's going to make us free, as Jesus Himself said. So we welcome you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And if you can't, we have CDs and tapes available. All we have to ask you to do is so you can let us know what you'd like to have. All we ask for is a love offering. You can make it out to the church name, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stewart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. Let us know what date you want, whether you want a CD or a tape, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you, as we are every Saturday. And we're not here to blow our horn or anything else. We're here to lift up the Word of God, to raise the standard of the body of Christ, so people can understand what God's wanting us to know today, because we are in the last of the last days, and a lot of people don't realize that, but we are. The signs are everywhere you look in this, in the world, and so we need to be prepared.
Everywhere, daily.
Daily. Look to the Word, understand the Word of God, remain on that. Don't listen to all the naysayers and all the rest of the things that you're hearing and coming down, all the conspiracy stuff. Just look to the Word of God, trust God, and He's the one. We depend upon Him. We thank You, Lord, that You're with us all the time. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so, glory be to God. So Pastor Don's got a couple things to mention. We're going to talk about a few interesting things today about Israel. But, you know, we just came through all the appointed times, the latter part of the year. We come through trumpets and the Day of Atonement and tabernacles. And so I thought I might talk about a few things here after we're done with some of the announcements here about Israel, what's God's plan for them. Because, you know, they're in a lot of turmoil right now, too. We see what's going over there with the people right now. The bombs are going off. People are being killed and all this. And so I tell you, we're right on the edge of something. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's something coming that's going to shake not only the nation of Israel, but they're going to stand up. We know God's on their side, but it's going to shake some things in this world as well. And so we'll talk about maybe some of that in a little bit here. So anyway, Pastor Donna's got a couple announcements to make, and especially about our Bible reading marathon, right, Pastor Donna?
That's right. So, you know, that's why we're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
We certainly are.
But we should be praying for them, because the things that they have, that they are going through.
And will go through.
You know, only God can bring them through it.
That's
and
it.
And so if they see and they know what's happened in the past, just like the Israel children, you know, we're beginning to read the Torah portions again.
Sure.
And you can see when they were obedient, they were blessed.
They won
every battle. But when they tried to do it their own way, they didn't. So, you know, they need to hear from the Spirit of the Lord. They need to follow the Lord, and they need to trust Him. And you talk about raise the standard. Well, you know, God's already set a standard.
He sure has.
It's sitting right in front of me.
It's never changed.
It's never changed. It's our Holy Bible.
That's it.
That's if you have a Holy Bible. That's right. You need to be in the right Word, because there's a lot of new Bibles coming out all the time, and you know they water down the Word of God.
And have been out a long time.
And we need to stay in the closest we can get to the original.
That's right.
And so praise the Lord for that. So we need, and God has set a standard. So who's lowered the standard? People, men.
Men
have.
Not God, but
men.
Not
God. God hasn't changed His standard.
Hallelujah.
You know, He had the Sabbath established before the law.
That's right.
Came along, didn't He?
He told them to remember the Sabbath.
You know, he set up rules and regulations right there in the garden, and they weren't able to follow it, even in a perfect atmosphere. It was a perfect atmosphere. They couldn't have asked for anything better.
That's
the
right.
Closest thing to heaven that you would ever have would be the Garden of Eden.
And they threw that all away, didn't they? In disobedience.
Threw it away
by someone questioning what?
Because
the devil questioned what?
The devil
Word
questioned
of God.
The Word of God. And so has God really said that? See, the devil does question the Word of God.
And we got people saying that today.
So that's right. So we need to get back on God's standard.
That's right.
And that will change us. But we're not going to get changed unless we get into His Word.
Hallelujah.
And we allow the Holy Spirit to change our heart. You see, it's the heart God's looking at. Our heart needs to yield to the things of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, before we get going on all this, praise the Lord. excuse me. I'm going to give our telephone number in just a few minutes. But I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have a Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. And then we have today we're not having anything this
no
afternoon.
No classes today, right?
No, because we're doing a barn dedication.
We're going to dedicate a barn, yeah.
Amen. Well,
we won't go into all the details on that. But
anyway. We're excited about that.
Yeah.
So, but we normally have Saturdays afternoons at 4 o'clock, and then we close out the Shabbat with a dinner at 6 o'clock. And we also come together on Friday for our Shabbat, and so that's at 7 o'clock on Friday evening. So if you want to come sometime and worship with us, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that's
sure.
The name that the Lord prophetically gave Pastor Gene many years ago when we started this
ministry.
Prophecy Ministries.
Yeah.
And of course the radio program is Raising the Standard, and the Lord also gave Pastor Gene that name as well. And I believe that that's what God is saying today. He's been saying that all along. It's man that's changed, but we got to get back on God's pathway. The Bible says to return to the ancient paths.
That's it, boy.
Return to the ancient paths. And you
thank you, Lord.
It's the truth.
Yes, it is.
The ancient paths, it's God's truth. It's God's Word.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. So we'd love to have you come, and we'd like to say hello to all you out there that listen to us weekly, and we just bless you, and we thank the Lord also for our brother and sister church over on Andros Island, because the building,
temple of God, yeah.
The temple of God, the actual block building
is going up.
Amen. The front of it is almost finished, and the sides are getting up, and the back is the last thing to go up, and it's going up. I think it's probably 4 feet or maybe more off the ground. So. And the rest of it's just about to the top, ready for the roof. Isn't that awesome, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
So it's so exciting to know that there is a church, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, prophetic.
Amen.
Teaches the
Jewish roots
the
and understanding.
Roots, the things about Israel
point
and the point of times. And on Andros Island in the Bahamas. So if you'd like to be part of that, if you'd like to say you'd like to purchase a few blocks, give us a call. We'd love to have that. We send them money all the time to help them over there. You know, there's a lot of people over there on the islands. They don't have a lot of money.
That's right.
They don't have a lot of money. But God wants to reach their hearts, and He wants to build a church, the church that loves God and people and worshipers and children. And so anyways, that's the temple of God. So you can keep them in prayer. Amen?
They go along as much as until the money's mm-hmm. done, and then they have to pray and trust God, and more money comes in. They'll buy more blocks, and they keep building it.
That's right.
So if you're led to do that, you can make out a check to this ministry, and we'll make market for the...
Give us a call.
The church in Andros, Ireland.
Right.
Just market the temple of God, and we'll make sure they get the money.
Yes, we will. Every penny.
That's every penny.
And, you know, this is an outreach, and so we just thank the Lord that, you know, they were part of our church, and they're still part of our church.
Sure, they are.
But we're their extension.
That's right.
And we just love Roscoe and Audrey,
Walks.
And we just thank the Lord for them. You know what? They need a computer.
Yeah.
They need a good computer. They don't have a computer. They usually listen to us on their computer every week, and you can listen to us as well on your computer if you happen to be traveling and you're going to be going up north somewhere. You can listen to this broadcast. It's WCNO.com, and every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. We're on live, and you can also go back and listen to podcasts of programs that we have done in the past.
Right.
On WCNO.com.
Mm-hmm.
So they listen to us, but they haven't been able to the last few weeks because they don't have their computers out, and they say it's unrepairable. And, you know, it's hard to get people to work on things over there, and it's, you know, everything's expensive. I mean, a gallon of milk is, I don't know what it was last time.
Over $6 a gallon,
yeah. $6 a gallon. Everything is expensive over there.
Yeah, gas, everything.
Yes, that's right. So we'll keep them in prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to say, this week we had a number of us. We had our Bible marathon, and we called many people that have read the Bible in the last 14 years. This is going to be number 15, our 15th annual Bible reading marathon here in Martin County.
We made a lot of phone calls, didn't we?
Stuart, Florida. Yes, we did. It was like a call center.
That's what it was.
We had several women, and Pastor Gene, bless his heart, he made a lot of phone calls until he just about lost his...
I almost lost my voice. I talked so long.
He talked so much. But, you know, get him on the phone. He likes to talk. So if you want to talk to him about anything that's we talk about today, be glad to call Pastor Gene. We would be glad to talk to you. It's good to hear from you. It's good to hear your encouraging words. And we thank the Lord for those who do send a note, or they send an encouraging word and
that's
just
right.
encourage us. Amen along the
or
way.
Or bless us with an offering from
that's
time
right.
to time. Yes.
We have to pay for this broadcast.
That's right.
So what I want to say about the Bible reading marathon is the board is starting to fill up. We have, you know, we sign up hundreds of readers, and we need readers for every 15 minutes. It's a marathon. You don't stop. We start Wednesday evening on the 11th of November, which happens to be Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start in the evening at opening at 7 and start reading at 8 o'clock sharp. And we will read continually round the clock for 90 hours or whatever it takes to finish reading the entire Bible.
Every word.
So that's right. So someone is scheduled for 8 o'clock. The next person is scheduled for 8:15, 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, and so on. So we would love to have you come and be part of this Bible marathon. You know, this might be your first time to come and be part of it. Last year we had people the first time. So
we
see new faces all the time. And actually the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, this is the year to see the face of Jesus. This is the year of man. And God wants us to see, Jesus wants us to see him in all of, on every page of the Bible. And this is also this is what the Lord spoke to me about that. So we need to be able to see Yeshua as we read the Bible on every single page, because I think he's there, and God wants to open up our spiritual eyes to be able to see and to know what God is saying about his son and about our redemption and what God is doing on the earth today. We need to know. We need to know what God is saying. And, you know, the hidden things, the mysteries.
That's right.
They're deep.
Here.
So we need to seek out the deeper things of God to know the truth. You know, the Bible says the truth will make us free.
Not set you free. The King
That's
James
right.
says make you free.
So we're signed up a lot of people, and several spaces are taken. So we'd love to have you come. You know, people, you know, it's not just a Martin County Bible Marathon. It's a Treasure Coast Bible Marathon.
Amen.
But we have people come from Okeechobee, from Miami. We've had people last year. We had people from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Vero Beach, the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Roscoe and Audrey came over from the Bahamas to help us. They spent every night there working the night shift. You know, we need shifts. We need night shifts. We need helpers. We need somebody who's going to be on the property all the time. We're right downtown Stuart. We're on government property Memorial Park, where the courthouse is at, in a band shell. Everything will be set up, speakers and microphones. And so we need somebody there all the time besides the readers. We need people there to help others if they need help, you know, where they need to find out where
keep
the bathroom's
at. Keep track of the time
at,
and all.
Keep track of the time, you know.
When they read.
And
yeah.
And just to be ministers. So we need helpers. And so, and overseers, you know, for it. Because Pastor Gene and I certainly can't stay down there. Well, we'd like to stay down there for 90 hours. The first year we did it, we just about did stay down there for 90 hours.
Long time,
we had a
boy.
Camper, and we just about did. But we need help, and we're the body of Christ. And so this is not a church, one church event. No,
it's the
this
church.
Is the church event. So people from all different denominations, they don't even have to go to church to read the Bible. They don't even have to be saved to read the Bible. You know, we had some people that come to read the Bible, and they just wanted to read. And they got saved.
They got saved.
People, and so when we have prayer teams, and people get saved, and,
amen.
And people might need prayer. So, you know, it's for the body of Christ to come together and to declare God's word. And, you know, this we're reading towards Jerusalem. And we're actually facing towards Jerusalem.
Right,
and
straight
reading,
through.
And the Lord told me it would be protection for our nation against terrorism. Well, I didn't quite understand that at the time. You know, when you get a prophetic word, many times you don't understand it. Just like the word of God. When you're reading something, you may not understand it. But as you spend more time, God will reveal why. Because you say, why? Why, Lord? Why are we reading? Why are we reading towards the water? Well, I didn't know we were reading towards Jerusalem until we got a compass. And so in my mind, I would think, if it's protection for our nation against terrorism, why shouldn't we be facing the rest of the United States, you know? But the Lord said it was a breaker's anointing for protection against terrorism. A breaker's anointing, you think of water, don't you? So I thought, okay, well, we're facing the water and there are breakers there. And I didn't really still comprehend until a lady came over that first evening around, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. And she said, I'm hearing the Bible, hearing you guys reading. And she was like 2-3 blocks away over on the river,
mm-hmm.
which is like 3 blocks from where we'll be on Ocean Boulevard. And so she was, which is it's the ocean, it's the intercoastal area you'd call. And so then the breaker's anointing came to me again. And so I had to find out exactly what direction we were facing.
Morning, yeah.
So we got a compass, because at that first Bible marathon, we had maps all across the back of the band shell.
Mm-hmm.
We had three different kinds of maps, United States, world map, Florida map, and so forth and so on. And so we found out that we were facing Israel, that little small spot on the earth that's the apple of God's eye. We were facing Israel. And I said, wow. And so we continued to draw a straight line from where we were at to Israel, and we kept going, following it out.
Yeah,
and
right
it went
through Israel?
Right through the center of Afghanistan.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
Well, I didn't have to say anymore. I said,
that's
okay,
right.
The Lord.
That's
and, you know, as we bless them, you know, we get a commanded blessing. So we receive the commanded blessing. So the Bible Marathon is not just something we're doing, although it's a prophetic act, and it's a prophetic activation that God has told us to do. It's a command. So we receive the blessing. We'll receive the blessings of the Lord as we're obedient to do these things. But, you know, we need help. That's just my cry. We need help, and we need readers. So we just pray that you will pray about it, and that you might want to come. Because when you know you're blessing Israel, you know you're going to get a commanded blessing yourself. Did you know that? The Bible promises that we will get a commanded blessing as well. And people are amazed when they hear the story, and they say, how did that all come about? Well, you know, it came about from the Word of God. It came about from hearing a prophetic Word of God. And we're going to talk, you know, we're going to talk about Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a prophet. And he heard. He had to hear from the Lord. And, you know, some of the things that we hear from the Lord, we may not want to do, or we might think it's too difficult. But, you know, with God, and God told us to do this, and it was, what, 6 weeks? We had 6 weeks of planning.
That's right.
It normally takes 6 months to plan a Bible marathon. Mm-hmm. It's a big outreach. And so we just thank the Lord for it. We thank the Lord for protection against our nation. But, you know, I felt a couple of years ago that, you know, is the hand of God's protection lifting? We need to press forth, and we need to be obedient to do what God's calling us to do. So the Bible Marathon is going to be November the 11th. That's on a Wednesday. And it will go through Sunday. So if you're going to call, don't call for Sunday, because Sunday's already filled just about, you
know. That's right. Don't be a Johnny come lately. Yeah.
No, because if you come at the last minute and you say, oh, I want to read, we had so many people do that.
You may not be able to read.
You may not be able to read. So the thing is, you need to call and get on the schedule. So, call. We have Wednesday all night, all day Thursday, for all day Friday, all night Thursday, night Friday, night Saturday. So come and read. And of course, we do understand that most of the reading is in the First Covenant. Well, a lot of people want to just read in the New Testament. Well, the New Testament doesn't start until Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
So, and it'll end around noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, that a lot of that time, we just can't fill everybody in the New Testament. And don't worry about the names. The names, people are worried about the names. You know, God knows every name, and it doesn't have to be pronounced exactly right. We don't pronounce the names exactly right.
We do the best we can.
But God knows, and the important thing is just reading God's word out loud, declaring it. See, every time we read the Bible, we are making declarations. We are declaring. It's not just just reading a story. No, we're reading the God's word, and much of it is history. Much of it is prophecy. We're reading prophetic words that God has said. And, you know, God will fulfill every single prophetic word that he has said.
And they are preparing right now to be fulfilled, yeah.
That's right. And that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
So call us, and I'm going to give you the telephone number right now. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 007, and we will repeat the number at the end of the broadcast. Thank you.
So we're honored to be here with you. Thinking about the Bible here, I was thinking about this while Pastor Don was talking there. You know, when Israel came out of their captivity with the Babylonians and came back, well, you can read this in the book of Nehemiah, and it tells you when the first things they did was in the seventh month, which is the month of Tishri. This is the latter time of the year, you know, when we have trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles that we just been through. Well, they came in, and what did they do? The people were gathered together, and Nehemiah and Ezra and all them, they brought the law out, the Torah of Moses, and brought it out. And they began, in verse 2 it says, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, it says, and Ezra the priest brought the whole law of the Torah before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So this was on trumpets. And so they stood up, and they read from morning until midday. And you find out here in verse 4 that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit made of wood. So when you come down there and read, you're going to be in front of a pulpit made out of wood. And you're going to get to stand up and you can read the word of God. And so those people were out there for at least, you know, from daybreak until noon while they read the Torah, the five books. So it's incredible.
So daybreak, that's quite a few hours, at least
that's
6 hours out there.
And they read it.
Reading.
Yeah. So they opened the book and they began to read. And then when they were reading, think about the people all stood up, it tells you there.
Mm-hmm.
They stood. What if we all, you know, we have people come to church and we can't sit for an hour and a half. We got to get up and roam around. What if you had to stand for an hour and a half to hear the word of God? Well, in those days, they were honored to hear that because they knew what they'd been through and all the terrible things that happened. And they were back in their homeland. It's incredible.
And
to
it
think
was
about.
All the people.
Sure.
You know, it was men, women, children.
Fantastic.
All the people were listening to the word of God.
That's right. Even the babies. All were there listening.
And the
That's
babies
right.
need to hear the word of God too. They need to hear it. It says train up a child in the way he should go. Amen.
That's right.
And the word of God gives us directions.
So I was
how we should grow.
So I was thinking about Israel this week a little bit, and this morning before we came on the radio program.
Thank you, Lord.
And the promises that we have, and we know that you know they were out of their land. The place was dry for over 1,500 years, and we have the prophecies in the Bible and all when it was going to be renewed. And we know that 1948, when Israel became a nation, things began to change greatly. And they had all these wars, and they won the wars and all that. And here we are in the very last of the last days, and Israel's in a big upheaval right now. And we know the terrorists, the Islamic fanatics are trying to destroy Israel and take their land and all that. And so it's a volatile time for Israel. So we have to continue to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu and all of Israel that they'll do the right thing, make the right decisions. But the Word of God tells us that they will win regardless. Doesn't matter what John Kerry says. It doesn't matter what the president says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They will win. They're going to win. And you know, today they're trying to divide Israel. They're trying to divide Israel. And so we just have to continue to pray that that won't happen, that it won't happen. But we have some patterns in the past that might think that maybe it could possibly, part of that might happen again, but we pray that that does not happen. And thank you, Lord, that we have Benjamin there. He's strong in the things of the Lord. And so we just thank God for him and what you're going to do with Israel. So they're a witness to us. If we understand the Bible that you read every day and understand what God's doing with Israel and his people, the Jewish people, if we can understand that, well, then we can realize that God is on their side, and it doesn't matter what happens, it's going to happen. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past a little bit, about this battle called Gog and Magog that's going to come. Well, I've studied this for a lot of years, and I really believe this event will happen prior to the resurrection, the catching away of the church. There's something going to happen. And if you look at this and study this out over in Ezekiel chapter 38 and part of 39, we find out that all those hordes from the north, you know, everybody thinks it's just going to be Russia, but it's probably going to be a lot more. You know, you got Turkey up there now that's almost totally an Islamic nation and all that. There is a huge coalition of nations that are going to come into northern Israel to come against the nation of Israel. Well, you can see over there, if you read this, that Benjamin and his the IDF, you know, the soldiers and all that over there, you know, they don't have to lift one finger. They won't have to lift one thing at all, because it says over there that God's going to bring down fire and brimstone from heaven, and he's going to wipe it all out. It's incredible when we think about what's going to happen. So God will protect them, and I believe that'll be an event that will happen that will open up the world's eyes a little bit to say, hey, the God of Israel is the true God of the world, and we need to turn to him completely. And so we just thank you for the, you know, the Israel, their military and all that. But see, it's not going to be there by their might or by their power so much, okay? It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. He's going to move in those last days. Now, we know in the past when they had the war, you know, the wars in 1948, 1967 and all that, that God did work on their behalf, even though they were in a military battle with the people that came against them. And they won all those. And so we have to understand that they're going to continue to win. They're going to continue to win. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that with Israel. So I thought we might talk a little bit today about some of the things in the future, because some interesting things happened in Israel's history that we can see today, but God's going to bring it all together. You know, there was a group that in Solomon's day, when Israel was split, there was a dividing line there. We know that Jeroboam took all the 10 tribes of the north and went up into Samaria, and they established basically their own religious system, which was contrary to what God wanted them to do. Well, the ones that stayed in Judah was who? Or the ones, I should say, that stayed in Israel were who? Were Judah. And obviously, I said Israel, I mean Jerusalem. Those that stayed in Jerusalem was who? Was Judah and Benjamin were the two tribes that were there. So there was a division for a lot of years. But see, God's promised in his word that he's going to bring all that back together. And we have people teaching about the 10 lost tribes and all. Well, let me tell you, God knows who all those people are. We don't have to try to determine who they are. God knows everyone, and he's going to bring them back. And even the people who live in Israel today, they don't even believe a lot of this. When I was in Israel several years ago during Purim, and I went out and went for a walk on the Sabbath before we left over there, this gentleman and I. And I went down and walked on the beach, down in Tel Aviv, beautiful place on the beach. And you look at it, this is Israel. They live and talk and act just like they do in America. They were in little skinny bikini bathing suits. It was disgusting, drinking booze and all on God's Sabbath. And so Israel has a problem also. They're divided right now. We have the secular world over there, and we also have what? A lot of the strong religious groups. But the religious groups have to come to realize that they need the Messiah more than anything else. And that's what I keep praying for. They'll realize that Yeshua is truly their Messiah. You know, he came the first time for them. They missed their day of visitation. He's coming again. And I remember while I was there,
they need to come back to the truth.
That's
too,
right.
Raising the standard.
That's
because,
right.
You know, even in Israel, abortion is legal.
That's right. Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about. Running your children through the fire. Well, we know we're not going to talk about that today. But, you know, there were people back in those days, there were people that did sacrifice their children.
Sure did. And a lot of other terrible things as well.
And a lot of other terrible things. So, you know, as all this talk is going on about this Planned Parenthood and abortion and everything, I just pray that Israel will take the lead and will be an example
to do
for the world, for the nations,
yeah.
And do what God's word says.
That's right.
Return to the ancient past. That is the key word.
It's it. It's amazing when we think about it. In fact, I'm thinking while I was over there at that time, last time I was there, downtown Jerusalem, where the big synagogue is, they have a big banner hanging over the wall at the top. It's got a picture of a man, Rabbi Schneerson from New York. And I understand he never even visited Israel. And they believe that he's the Messiah. So they got this banner up and looking for him to be the Messiah, that God's going to raise him from the dead, and he's going to be the Messiah. They can't comprehend. The scriptures are so clear, if they're willing to look at it, especially the New Testament, if they would look in there, they'll find out that God sent his only begotten Son to this earth for all mankind. He came and died, shed his blood for our forgiveness of our sins, and he rose from the grave on the third day. He is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. And if they could just comprehend this, so many things would change. And so we know a lot of the Jewish people are coming today, but our desire is to see them all come, that they can escape this time called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Remember Israel's name? Came from Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So it's called Jacob's trouble. It's their time, not those that are believers in Yeshua. But we have to continue to pray for Israel. And we got a lot of things in the Word of God revealing in the latter days what's going to happen. Even with Gog and Magog, it tells you over in some of the scriptures, it says in the latter days, in the last of the days and all that. And so I thought I'd share a couple of things here with you today, the little bit of time that we have. I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37, and my wife's here with us, and we'll see what God would want us to know. Now, one thing I'll mention before we do this, thinking about what's going on in the world right now, the Middle East is the key thing. There's 22 nations over there that are around that little nation of Israel, about the size of New Jersey. They want to kill all the Jews. They want to take all their land. And, you know, and so, but God's not going to allow that to happen. So we have to keep all this in mind when we think about this. God is on their side, and they've won all their wars, and they're going to continue to do whatever God has to have for that to happen. And so, you know, there was a division we mentioned way back, and all God's going to bring it back together, we know. I'm in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to start in verse 15. Now, if you ever read this chapter about the resurrection of the dry bones, you know, Israel's spiritually dead right now, spiritually, because they don't know the Messiah. They're spiritually dead, but God's going to bring a spiritual renewal to them in the days ahead for those that will accept what he wants them to do. And so when it talks about them, about the dry bones and all that, well, they were dead spiritually, but God's going to do something in the near future. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, verse 15 says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying," this is unto Ezekiel, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick." Now listen real close. "Take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah." This was the picture of the southern tribes. "And for the children of Israel, his companions." Remember that word, companions.
They're two different groups of people.
Two different groups at that time. "Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel, his companions." Here's your word again. So sometimes you read in the first covenant, it talks about Ephraim, it's talking about the northern tribes, all right? And it can also talk about Israel, the northern part. So remember that when the kingdom was split, Jeroboam took all those people up into Samaria and began his false religious system that he had in place. And then, of course, we know that Judah and Benjamin stayed in Jerusalem, all right? So it says right here, all the house of Israel, his companions.
And it says, and join them.
That's right.
Two sticks, and join them. One to another, mm-hmm. into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Now, I've been talking about the vav,
okay.
Pastor Gene.
In the Hebrew. Mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew. And the word shalom is a vav.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like it, does
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a vav. And in the Torah, there's some places the vav is broken.
Right.
And there's the bottom part is like a shorter stick, and the top part is like a larger stick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could this also be referring to, because shalom means to have the house of peace, house of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at times, Jerusalem and Israel and the Jewish people and all the different tribes, they weren't all in peace with each other. And so here we have a northern one, which would be the larger part of the stick.
Yeah.
It's the top part of the vav. And, you know, the letter vav represents the number 6, and it also represents man. Well, who causes problems in families and communities? People do. Man,
that's right.
Men do. Women do. And so here he's talking about this stick.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think about the vav, because, and the word shalom, it's connected with it. And that here we have this broken vav, which God wants to restore.
That's right.
And bring it back
mm-hmm.
to wholeness. See, the word shalom doesn't just mean peace. It means wholeness. It means a lot more than peace. It's wholeness, it's completeness in God. And so here we have these two sticks. One of them is shorter because, well, we're talking about Judah. Would that be the smaller one, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
It'd be the
only
one
two,
near
only
the
two
south.
Tribes,
It'd be
right?
the one that's
mm-hmm.
pointing down. It'd be the one to the south, the bottom part of the Vav.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the shorter part, and the larger part of it is the upper part. And so when I think about this, now it doesn't say that, but this is what I'm seeing spiritually, is
sure.
joining these two sticks together. And you know, the number six represents man. Man has to agree with God and God's word, or you know, we won't have shalom. We won't
That's
have
right.
peace.
That's right. Now, at the tail end of verse 16, we write, said here, it said, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel, his companions. So he's talking about here, about the northern tribe, his companions has to be what? Would represent what? Those are the southern two tribes. They're going to be joined back together. So the word companions, you know, that you could even call that fellows. They're supposed to be a fellowship in one another, know each other, but they're called companions.
Talking about all the house of Israel.
The northern tribes and the southern. And so 17 says, and join them one to another mm-hmm. into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand, in God's hand. And then incredible, we think about that.
And we think about also with the, if they're one in God, mm-hmm. you know, the very top of the Vav is like a yod.
Right.
And that represents God's hand. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you have, and you know, you think about a staff or a rod, it also looks like a staff or a rod. It also represents, it could represent a hook. You know,
right.
all the temple was put together with the hook.
Hooks, yeah.
So here we have, if they come together and they're have in God's hand, what's going to happen? God is the one who fights for us.
That's right.
He's
Amen.
The one who's going to fight for them.
Hallelujah.
So, wow, that's powerful.
It's incredible. Now, verse 18 goes on and says, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Now, what's these two sticks representing here? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim. Okay,
mm-hmm.
this is talking about the northern tribes. And the tribes of Israel, all of them. Okay, now see what it tells you here? So Joseph and Ephraim, and also when it talks about Israel many times, it means the northern tribes, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel. It says his fellows. Here we go. Here's our word fellows again, or companions, okay? And we'll put them with him. And I think the him here is talking about Yeshua himself, the Messiah. We'll find this out when we read down another mm-hmm. verse or two. Even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. So God's going to gather them together from all over the
in
world.
God's hand.
In
God's
his hand.
Hand, the yod.
That's right. So we have to keep all this in mind.
Thank you, Lord.
God wants, he's going to bring it all together.
So they need to see this.
That's right. Now verse 20 says, and the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And I say unto them.
And say unto them.
And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, what's mm-hmm. that, the Gentile nations,
that's it.
Whither they be gone,
that's
and will
it.
Gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And listen, this is the land of Israel.
He's doing that.
Right now. And I will make them one nation
Amen.
In the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king
yes.
shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore
right.
at all. So this is telling us quite clearly then what? That Jesus is going to be the head of all this. Now I got a note.
And they need to be there.
That's right. I got a note in the Bible there. I think I know what it is. I'm going to go there. It's in John chapter 10.
As you're going there, I was going to say, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people who don't want to go back. Just like in the time of old, you know, when they were able to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them chose not to go back.
That's
it was
right.
more convenient to stay where they were at because they had jobs, they had food, they had all these things, they had all the
That's
things
right.
they wanted. It's, you know, to leave everything and to go back is more difficult than just hang out where you're at,
That's right?
right. So look at all the people, even all the, in America and all the other nations, God is calling them back because they've been scattered. This northern
That's right.
part's been scattered. And even many that from Judah, they're in other places as well. So they need to return. You say, well, how can all those Jewish people go back to that small place? Well, you know what? God knows.
He knows, that's for sure. Amen. And they're going to have a lot more territory, geography-wise, than they have right now.
Because he wants to have, there's going to be one king.
That's
and that
right.
king is Jesus,
that's
Yeshua
right.
HaMashiach.
So it says, there's a scripture in John chapter 10, verse 16, that I want to read to you. And remember, when we read the Gospels, we got to remember the audience that Yeshua was speaking to. These were all Jewish people. And so where was he at? He was in Jerusalem, which is in the southern tribes. That means he's talking about what? Judah and Benjamin. Now look at verse 16. And we've read this many times in the church, and they say, well, this is talking about the Gentiles. Well, we're part of this, but he's talking to his people. Listen to this. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They're up in the northern group. This is the group called Ephraim up there in Samaria. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Who's that? His name is Yeshua.
Is that why he had to go to Samaria?
That's yes, why he was up there.
That's right.
He did that when he met the woman at the well and all that.
That's right.
So let's go on now.
And made an evangelist out of her.
That's right. Boy, a lot
she
of people
became
got,
an evangelist.
Come to the Messiah. Now let's go on. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 37. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, David's going to be the prince in the kingdom of God in the millennial reign. You can read that over the tail end of Ezekiel. It's going to be mentioned here in a moment. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. He's going to be a co-regent with Christ in that day. Amen. And they all shall have one shepherd, which is Yeshua. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. He said, I have given unto Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to what? To
Israel.
And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. This is all the way out to the end about the kingdom now. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Not for just a short while, but forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There will be a tabernacle built during Jacob's trouble. We know that. And then there's going to be another one in Ezekiel, and the dimensions are completely different than anything we've seen in the past. But God knows. Verse 28, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, means set them apart, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. And then we go into chapter 38 and talks about Gog and Magog, and we know this was a coalition of evil against the nation of Israel. But there's some interesting things that are said here as well. I'm going to go to chapter 38 with you, and I'm going to look at verse 8. It says, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, hear this, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, the Gentiles, and they shall dwell safely. It says not some, it says all of them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So it tells God's telling what's going to happen. Thou shalt descend and come like a storm. There's a coalition of nations going to come down from the north. They shall be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up into the land of unwalled villages, which is Jerusalem, you know, Israel. Not only Jerusalem, but Israel. I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. So he talks about this battle that's going to come, that he's going to bring. I'm going to go over to verse 15 now. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the northern parts, this coalition of nations, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, talking about this coalition of nations, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time? Donna talked about the ancient past. This was mentioned way back in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 29. By my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. He says, my mountains, the mountains of Israel belong to God.
Amen.
The Lord, every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, many Gentile nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what Gog and Magog is going to be about. Amen. So
what is God doing? He is going to expose his power.
He sure will.
And who he and let the world know.
Who's in charge.
Who's in charge.
That's right.
Let the world know who is the creator.
That's
all
it.
Of these lies. And I think about all of the children, and even in our nation, other places, that are being taught a lie. They're not being taught about God and about who their creator is.
That's right.
You know, they've come from some who knows what. So, you know, all this scientific stuff. But God is going to expose himself and in a powerful way to let the world know who he is.
That's it. He sure will.
All powerful.
That's right.
You don't want to come against God.
You know, there's another scripture I'm thinking about, I think, Pastor Donna. It's over in Hebrews chapter 1, if you're at home there. I'm going to turn over there. I'm just going to read
and
this.
And here, one. You know, in the next verse in 39, he says, prophesy.
What he and said.
Read these things at the bottom of our mind, we're declaring these things. We're prophesying.
That's right.
It says here, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog.
That's right. Thinking about this word, we talked about this word, Israel, his companions. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 is an interesting verse. It says, this is quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, this God here's talking about Yeshua, God, even thy God, this is the Father, hath anointed thee, who's the thee? Yeshua the Messiah, with the oil of gladness above what? Thy fellows. Here's this word. This word companions can also be translated as the word fellows. They are the friends. They are the friends of God. I had a note down here that fellows are companions. These are the friends of the bridegroom, the Old Testament saints that God's talking about. Thy fellows. It's incredible. We think about what God reveals to us in the Word of God. So this
I like this verse over here, Pastor Gene, in Ezekiel 39.
Okay.
Because we're talking about God's power.
There you go.
You think about that Bob. Without that yod at the top of that Bob, you don't have any power.
Mm-hmm.
All you have is a stick. All you have is just yourself, a man. You can stick a whole bunch of men together and make an army, but without God leading you, without the power and the anointing of God, you're going to fail every time.
Mm-hmm.
But over here in verse 29 of chapter 39,
it says,
neither will I hide my face. And this is the other thing the Lord showed me. This is the time we should be seeing the face of God, the face of Jesus and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Neither will I hide my face anymore
from them.
For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God.
So when we get in the kingdom, we're going to see God face to face. It tells us that in Revelation, doesn't it? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
These are visions that were given to this man.
To Ezekiel. He probably couldn't comprehend it.
A lot of them are really hard. You know, you got to just, as you're reading the word, we need to pray over these things. What is God saying? What is he saying to me? Because even in all this, you know, God can speak to us on a personal level and show us that we're just nothing without God.
Absolutely.
We're absolutely nothing without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, without the hand of God. We're nothing. We can do nothing. Man can only do so much. Men will always fail. But God never fails.
Never fails.
God is, man says they're faithful, but men are not faithful. But God is always faithful. God says, he will do.
That's right. It's amazing what he has in the word here. Totally amazing.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding.
That's right.
But in everything, what? Acknowledge him.
So he's going to bring those two sticks and join them back together. And I'm reminded here as I looked at this morning and all, in 37 and 38 of Ezekiel, there's some nations mentioned here like Persia, Ethiopia, the Libyans, and all that. And, you know, all these nations that we have mentioned in the Bible, you know, the Amorites and all the groups that came against Israel, if you look at all those where they lived, the territory has never changed. The land, the geography is still there. But think about it. All those nations that are mentioned in the Bible are all Muslim nations today. All of them are covered. We talked about Persia. That's what, that would be Iran today. Ethiopia is still in place. The mess we had in Libya, okay, they're still there. That land is controlled by the Muslims. And so we see how this is all going to come down to a conclusion. And I mentioned this in the program before. When you read this first covenant, some people like to call it old. I don't think it's an old covenant. It's the first covenant. Whenever you see the word violence over here in the Hebrew, it's a word that's spelled in the Hebrew, spelled H-A-M-A-S. It means, it's the word Hamas. God's given us clues with even the words where how this
Hamas
is all going to come down
that?
To. That's right, the word violence.
That?
That's right.
Hamas,
that's who it is, yeah. So we got all those radical groups over there. They're trying to come against Israel and destroy them and take their land.
And we can see how they're growing. And, you know, it's like a spider web.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going through, it's going throughout the earth.
Right.
It's going throughout the earth. It's coming to America.
That's right.
You know, just because we're across the ocean, that doesn't mean it's not. It's coming to America. It's infiltrating our nation. And, you know, our government, we need to pray. We really need to pray for our, although, you know, these things are going to happen, but we need to pray that God will raise up righteous men.
That's right.
That know the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
that won't compromise. We need a government. We need a righteous government. We need righteous people. We need righteous commissioners, righteous policemen. We need righteous people to rise up because the enemy has infiltrated our nation.
Sure has.
And it's going to get worse. Going to get better.
We read the other day that there's an ISIS cell, at least one in every single state in America right now. They're here.
I'm sure there's a lot more than
one.
Might
be a lot more, but I'm just saying they're in every state.
And if you look at those who are coming here, what are they? Mostly young men. You see a lot of children, old women. You see women
all the
and
refugees,
children.
Yeah.
No, they're young, strong men.
So where are they from? We don't know. And we're bringing all that into our country.
We know what nations they're from.
That's
right. We know
right.
the areas they're
so
from.
The Middle East is a mess. We know that. But see, God's going to take He's going to take that big mess and He's going to straighten it all out. It's going to be for His glory and His honor and for His people, the nation of Israel. The northern tribes, the southern tribes. You know, I hear all this stuff about the lost tribes of Israel. I'm not concerned about that. God knows who all those people are, and He'll bring who He wants. He'll know. And so all we just read here in Ezekiel says He's going to join them together. And so how's He going to do that? I can't tell you how He's going to do that, but He's going to do it. The Word promises. I'm going to read this again in verse 19 mm-hmm. of Ezekiel 37. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I will put them with him. I think the him here is referring not only with the northern tribes, but coming back together, but Yeshua is going to be in this, because they're going to be joined together. Even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. There'll be no separation any longer. Amen. And then verse 22, I'm going to read this again. And I will make them one nation. When you see the word nation in singular, in the first covenant, it's usually referring to the nation of Israel. When it's plural, it's Gentiles, Goyim. This is Gentiles. But this is talking about one nation. This is Israel. In the land, upon the mountains of Israel, and one king. It can only be one king, according to the word of God. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our anointed Messiah. One king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. And I like what 24 said. And David my servant shall be king over them. He's going to be a prince in the kingdom. And they all shall have one shepherd. His name is Yeshua. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They're going to obey the commandments of the Lord. Not saying, well, these are optional. You can do it if you want or if you don't. It's not a suggestion. These things have to be done. And then, see, I want to read 25 again. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant. What land is that? The land of Israel. Jacob's name, what? Was changed to Israel. Wherein their fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children. Now it doesn't say for a while or for 200 years or 500 years. It says forever. And my servant David shall be what? Their prince forever. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Father.
And it says, my tabernacle, in verse 27, shall also be with him. Yeah, I will be here. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's going to come. But think about it. Today, if you come to Christ, if you're born again, Jew or Gentile, We are now the tabernacle of God. God dwells in us. He doesn't dwell in buildings, does he?
No.
He dwells within us. We are the temple of God now. We are the ark. We carry the presence of God. We carry the anointing of God to be revealed out into the world. The glory must be manifested out of God's church to the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile, in the Messiah. So we have an incredible, just an amazing thought.
Thank you, Lord.
The marvelous thing that we have coming in the future. But right now, we have it. God has come into our lives. He's filled us up with his Spirit. We're walking in the realm of the Spirit to fulfill these things that need to be done. And the purpose, we know, is what? To reveal His glory to the world, but also to give people an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. And there's only one way. There's not 12 or 13 ways like we hear around this
Thank
country.
You, Lord.
There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. You can read over in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That's it.
That's it.
I am the way. He's the way. He's the truth, isn't he? That's right. He's the only way. He's the truth of the way. And he brings people
you,
into
Father.
The kingdom of God. So there's only one way. So we have to impress that on people. We have all these thoughts that, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. This book says it's true. And so if this book is true, then what? We have to believe it. That's what we put in our heart. This book is my life. This is what I'm hooked up to. This is my life. We've heard about these teachings about the purpose-driven church. Now, my purpose-driven life is this book I got in my hand right here, my Bible, a holy Bible, the King James Bible.
Or the progressive church.
Or the progressive church. No, this is my life right here.
No.
We obey this according to what God says, and if we acknowledge Him in everything we do, He says He's going to direct our paths. He says the righteous are appointed for a blessing as we walk with Him. We thank Him for that. He hastens to perform His word. We could go on and on, and glory be to God. Hallelujah. And we know that the righteous will never be forsaken if we just walk and stay with
God.
That's
right.
That's what we have to keep in mind all the time. We thank you. Thank you for that, Father God. Glory be to God.
We need to be the truth, the church of truth.
That's right.
The church of truth.
Hallelujah. We
you don't need all these fancy things.
No, you don't.
You don't need to be a progressive church. You don't need to, think that everything is okay. Everything is not okay.
That's
just
right.
Read the New Testament and read all the things that, all the sins there in Galatians chapter 5 and other places as well. If we don't walk in holiness, the Bible says we won't see the face of God.
That's right.
And we run out of time. And we just want to ask you to call us and to sign up for the Bible Reading Marathon, because this is a prophetic word declared by the Lord to read God's word.
Amen.
And can we give God 15 minutes?
That's right.
15 minutes. It might take you 15 more than 15 minutes
you
to get
You might want
to
read
here,
more than 15 minutes.
Can you read? Can you give God 15
That's
minutes?
Right.
Can you come and help out and spend some time? You know, do something for God. Be faithful in what God's called you to do. You know,
That's
maybe
right.
It's not reading the Bible Marathon, but please pray for us, and please pray that God would continue, and that we would have all the help that we needed. Amen. That we would be faithful.
Right.
That we'd all be faithful to the things of the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton on this radio broadcast, WCNO.com. You can listen to us again or listen to other pods that we have done in the past. And we're here in Stuart, Florida, and you'd like to come and visit us. We have services or meetings with God. Sunday we'll have church. We have church, man. We have church.
Yeah,
we have
do.
Holy Ghost church.
Hallelujah.
And we have church on Sundays, and you know, it's not an hour of church, so don't come and expect to be in and out in an hour. But anyways, here in Stuart, Florida, and just give us a call. We'll tell you how to get there if you'd like to come. And the phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Same number to call to sign up for the Bible Reading Marathon.
Amen. So remember, as we close this program,
Amen.
We always tell you this, but I want to say something before I say that. Remember, the steps of a righteous person, if you're righteous, are ordered of the Lord. So as we tell you, we tell you every week to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.